beginning of the Epistle of Peter, First Epistle of Peter, beginning in chapter 1, verse 3. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I read an interesting news piece yesterday that I thought you folks would be interested to hear. In a largely Hindu India, it seems that the animals are causing some problems. It seems that in New Delhi, where there are 13 million people, there are also 28,000 cattle who just kind of wander wherever they want to go. They're having problems with them getting into the garbage and leaving not only trails of garbage, but of other things. And so there's been a recent crackdown on these cattle that have been, of course, a very sacred part of India's religious culture. And so some people have been very upset about that. Other people are very gratified that someone is taking these cattle off the street. Mahatma Gandhi once said, he says, "If someone were to ask me what the most important outward manifestation of Hinduism was, I would suggest it was the idea of cow protection." Well, you know, back in Moses' day, they worshipped all different kinds of animals. They worshipped the frogs. And so one of the plagues, God gave them plenty of gods to worship. Matter of fact, there were so many frogs in the land that they couldn't keep the frogs out of their house. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? They had frogs in their kitchens and frogs in their ovens, it says, and frogs in their beds. How'd you like to share your bed with a frog? All in what? All in the name of religion. Well, I've got good news for you this morning, and that is that our God is not like a frog, and He's not like cattle. Our God is in the heavens. And instead of our God wanting us to look out for Him, like the Hindus have to look out for their cattle, God looks out for us instead. In this passage in 1 Peter, we find a wonderful description of our benefits that God has given us. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is a proclamation of prayer. The word there is the word that we get our word eulogize from. To eulogize means to speak well of. You know how that works, right? You heard about the lady that the preacher got up and kept talking about how wonderful this person was. Finally, she got up, went and looked in the casket to make sure she was at the right funeral. Well, but to eulogize means to speak well of. Blessed be God. The idea is that we ought to speak well of God. We ought to bless God. And why is that? Because of all that He's done for us, everything that He is. Instead of revering cattle or frogs or some other deity or something else, we as Christians ought to praise God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be more particular. And I hope that you do. I hope that that is why you're here this morning, that you've come to praise and magnify our great God. Then He says, "Who has begotten us again to a lively hope." Who has begotten us again to a lively hope. You see, those that worship other gods really don't have much hope. You know, it's kind of, we look at other world religions and they're so much different than Christianity. A lot of people think that, you know, all the world religions are pretty much the same. And that's really not true. People that think that really haven't looked at it carefully. But there's no hope in those other religions. But we have, what does he say? A living hope. A living hope. Not a dead hope. A living hope. A hope that lives beyond this life. We have a lot of people on our prayer list. Some are very serious. And we feel so sorry for those families who are going through those things. But you see, for the Christian, there's hope beyond this life. The Apostle Paul says that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. I was reading this week, and as I told the children, I had never read that passage before in Genesis like I read it this week. It says, "And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, as if he could do something else." Right? I mean, when you get down to the end of your life, you're going to give everything that you have to someone else. You are not going to be able to keep any of it. A couple of years ago, my sister called me. She's on the managing board at Snareville Cemetery, that big metropolis out north of Wyoming. And they were having a special on plots, you know. Now, this isn't like the guy that told his wife, you know, he bought her a funeral plot last year and he wasn't going to buy her no more gifts until she used the one that he bought her last year. But you know, I was trying to explain to Victoria. Victoria, we had a situation this week and, you know, Victoria doesn't quite understand parsonages and pastors and how that, you know, you don't own the house and things like that. And so she kind of was shocked into a little bit of something this week. And so I explained to her, I said, you know, we've owned several different houses, but none of us can keep any of that. None of us can keep any of that. All of us are going to have to lay that aside. But you see, Christians have a living hope. To get back to the funeral plots, you know, we bought three plots. They come in threes. I don't understand that. You know, why would you need three plots? I'm not a polygamist, so I only have one wife. And I'm going to die, and I'm pretty sure that she is too someday. We only need two, but they sell them in lots of three, so anyway, we bought three. You know, that's the last piece of property I'll ever own. You know that? Not a very big piece, is it? Couldn't even grow a good garden on there. But don't worry about it. As D.L. Moody said, someday you're going to hear that D.L. Moody is dead. He said, don't you believe it. Because at that moment, I'll be more alive than I've ever been. You see, for the Christian, Peter says that we have a living hope. We've been begotten to a living hope. A hope that goes beyond the lives that we have here. A hope that isn't locked into the stock market. You know, all the deal about the stock market going up and going down, you know, hasn't it always been going up and going down? Some people's lives are locked into the price of gold or the price of corn or beans or whatever. But the Christian's life is not invested in those things. Our hope isn't in the political process. I hope that you don't think that finally we're going to get some leaders out in Washington that are going to do what's right. It's not going to happen. There is no hope in those areas. But we have a living hope, one that cannot be taken away from us. Notice there also it says that we have been begotten to this hope. Begotten to this hope. Born again by the power of God. You know, that's a marvelous idea. Born again into God's family. We've been made new creatures. If you're a Christian, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We've been made children of God. And that's important, you see. Because if we've been made children of God, then we're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I've told you many times, my dad always used to say he wished that he'd been born rich instead of so good looking. Now, you do realize that if you were born rich, it was not because you made a lot of money right after you were born. You were born rich because you were born into the rich family, right? Well, the idea that Peter has here is that we've been begotten into God's family. What an inheritance we have. What a blessing we have. That we have the riches of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You say, well, if I'm a joint heir, an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, it sure doesn't show. I was listening to a fellow preach down in Texas one time, and he was a black preacher down there, and I wouldn't tell you what his name is because I get it wrong. But anyway, he was telling a story. And he had a very large church and he was pastoring, and so he had hired a secretary. And matter of fact, there were several people on staff at that church. And so he had this one secretary that he had hired, and she was just a young girl. And so he had hired her, and she was doing a very good job. And so one day, you know, preachers are pretty well clueless, right? So one day, one of his other people in the church said to him, "Don't you know who you've got hired as your secretary?" He says, "Well, yeah, it's Natalie. She's a nice gal, and she does pretty well everything. You know, she does her job. She shows up on time. I like her. She's a good girl." He says, the person told him, "No, you need to understand, that's the daughter of Nat King Cole." Well, later on, he called her into his office and he said, "Now, I just need to understand something here, you know. I said, you're a good worker and all that, but, you know, I would think you would need to work. If you're the daughter of Nat King Cole, I would think that you would have more money than what you could spend. Why in the world would you want to be working?" She said, "Well, you know, that is true. I am the daughter of Nat King Cole, and I do have a big inheritance. But you see, I haven't come into it yet." You see, that's the way we are if you're a Christian in this life. You've got a big inheritance. You haven't come into it yet, but someday you will. Someday you will. We have been begotten to this lively hope. We're a part of God's forever family. And then it says, according to His abundant mercy. Three, that's the best part. You know, a lot of people got money. How did they get it? You know, like the one company says, you know, "We got it the good old-fashioned way. We earned it." Well, there's some people didn't get it. Well, a lot of them got it the old-fashioned way. They stole it. Right? Sure. But I like this. According to His abundance. You see, God didn't take us into His family because we were rich, because we were good looking, because we had been born in the right family, or because we'd been so good. God didn't take us into His family because of all of those things. He took us into His family because He was merciful to us. Because there we are, there we were, and lost in sin. But God, in our helplessness, reached down and He took us. When we were rebels against His will and against His law. In Romans 5:8 it says, God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. He goes on, He says, much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, do you get that? God didn't choose us because we were His friends. God didn't bring us into His family because we were just so good that, you know, we might as well be His children. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. He says, if that's true, then much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And he goes on and on. But the idea is, we have been brought into the family of God by God's mercy, by God's grace. And then he says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, it's hard for us to understand how God, you know, I have trouble. As a matter of fact, I was praying this week and I said, "God, I just don't know why me." Now a lot of people ask God, "Why me?" when everything falls apart, right? "Oh Lord, why me?" No, when we need to ask why me is when everything's going good. Because God, I sure don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be a child of God. "Oh, a pastor? You mean you don't deserve it?" Absolutely not. If I got what I was deserved, I'd be in a lot of trouble. Very quickly. It's not because we deserve it. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Little passage in Ephesians chapter 1. He says in verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you think Peter and Paul had wrote together, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has blessed us. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You get that? All the blessings that you have, you got them through Jesus Christ. You didn't get some of them because Jesus Christ died for you, and you got some others because you finally got your act together. Because, let's be serious, folks, we've never got our act together yet. There's not a just man in the world that does good and sins not. And I know that some women are saying amen, but that means there's not a just man or woman in the world that does good and sins not. And he goes on there in Ephesians chapter 1, telling us of all the blessings. In your version of the Bible, it's probably broken out into paragraphs, but he begins a sentence in verse 4, and he doesn't end it till verse 14. As he lists one after another the blessings that God has given us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so Peter says that we have been begotten unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. An inheritance. Now some people are like the fellow in the story that Jesus told about the two sons. You know, one son said to his father, "Father, I can't wait for you to die. I want my inheritance now." And some people are waiting for the reading of the will. But we have an inheritance. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 it says, "For the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ." You understand that? We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that means, what's this about a joint heir? You see, the joint heirs can't get theirs until the others get theirs. You see, our inheritance is tied up into Jesus getting His. And that's how sure we are of it. You don't have to get worried about being cut out of the will if you're a child of God. It is an inheritance, an heirship, which is, Peter says, incorruptible. Incorruptible. The word here is used of God even. Does not fade away, does not pass away. Incorruptible. Everything that we have gets old. Everything in this life fades and grows old. But God has reserved an inheritance for us that is timeless. There is no passing away. Wiest, in his studies of 1 Peter, says of this word, he says, "Heaven is a safe deposit box where God is guarding our inheritance for us under constant surveillance." You get that? You see, let's be honest, folks. A lot of us have got our hands in the jar. And we enjoy having our hands in the jar because we can feel all that this world has for us. And we can enjoy all that this world has for us. And we won't let go. But you see, you can't get your hand out of the jar with that stuff in your hand. You see, the only way to enjoy the things that you have forever is to give them to God. Because you see, there we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It never fades away. It is secure. Then he says, undefiled. Undefiled. We've seen those places when we were young. Houses and farms. Elegant. Wonderful. But over the last 40-some years, they've kind of piddled away all of their elegance. Because this world fades. But Peter says, our inheritance does not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you. He says, who are kept by the power of God. You know, some people say, I'd be a Christian, Pastor, but I don't think I could stay a Christian. Well, you need to understand something. And that is, you don't have to worry about staying to be a Christian because God gives you that staying power. Paul wrote to the Colossians, I believe it's Colossians 1:6, he says, being confident, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you get the idea? The idea is that once you put yourself in God's care, you're going to make it. Because God is going to continue to work in your life throughout. You say, well, I just don't think I've got enough power to live the Christian life. That's right, you don't. There's not a person alive who has the ability to live the Christian life. The only way is through the power of God. It says that we are kept, who are kept, who are kept by the power of God. And if you're kept by the power of God, if you fall, it means that God isn't powerful enough. I don't think that's a possibility. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. God's inheritance is waiting for you if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ, it's very simple. You can do it today. All you need to do is tell God that you've messed up in your life and that you want to give it all to Him. We're going to pray a real short prayer here in just a moment. And if you can pray this prayer with me, I would ask you to do so. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are not good. All of us have gone astray. We've messed up. Many times we've tried, but we failed. Dear Lord, we just lay our lives in Your hands, knowing that Jesus died for us to cleanse us and take away our sin, and to give us a new life in Him. By His resurrection power, we pray that You enter into our lives today and give us the strength to overcome this world. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.